You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Haydock and Fakenham. And we've also got racing at Redcar on the flat, Wincanton over the obstacles and into the evening. We're at Newcastle and Dundalk on the all-weather. Gary Capewell, Kevin O'Malley and Seb Sanders are your able team in the studio on Friday afternoon to guide you through all of the racing. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast, a very warm welcome to Chris Pimlott. Hello, Pimmers.
Very good afternoon to you, Sam.
How's life treating you?
All good. Was at my annual jaunt to Wetherby yesterday afternoon for the Spinal Research Day, which was a well-attended function. And hopefully we might not have exceeded the 55,000 that we raised last year, but we certainly raised a good deal of money for spinal research, so that was all good. And it was good to see Wetherby back racing, obviously, over the jumps, and good to see that we were actually... races dominated by northern trainers. I think two of the races only went south, so that's a refreshing change. Right. Refreshing change. So well done to those northern trainers who got on the score sheet yesterday at Wetherby.
Indeed, it's just around the corner now, the National Hunt season. Once once Champions Day's out of the way, we can look forward to, well, presumably Cheltenham.
Yeah, I think the thing is, for me, that opening meeting at Wetherby is always the opening of the National Hunt season for me. So I haven't really taken a great deal of interest what's been happening in the world of jumps prior to that. But hopefully, as you say, we get the very, very special Champions Day out of the way at the weekend. And then it's all to look forward to.
Yes, indeed. You must have seen Giggenstown moving a huge portion of their horses away from... away from Willie Mullins, just when we thought nothing could possibly ever go wrong in Willie's world.
I don't think anything has gone wrong in Willie's world, to be honest. I wouldn't mind being in his world.
Yeah, true.
As Sir AP says, there was a clash of personalities, and this often does happen. And as AP said quite rightly as well, I don't think he'll have lost any sleep over it.
No, I
don't. And vice versa. I don't think Mr. Yes. O'Leary will have done either.
I would imagine not. And for the
only thing that worries me is maybe we'll have to start paying to go to the loo on a Ryanair flight now. You never know, do you?
Indeed. It's probably good for the neutral, to be fair, because it means we're going to see some former Mullins horses. He was always very keen to keep his horses apart. Now they've gone to Gordon Elliott. We could see some fascinating battles. Apples Jade possibly bumping heads with the likes of Annie Power and Forheen. I know that's... months and months into the future, but it's certainly something we wouldn't have got had the horses stayed with Willie.
Yeah, I think you're dead right. We've got that opportunity now to see them taking each other on, which will be very, very sweet and interesting indeed. And again, I think it's a point that we really need to take on, Bill, that is it healthy that a individual owner has so many eggs in the one basket? I don't particularly think it is. And as we've seen in the past, when trainers have split up with a big owner and the owner's distributed the horses out to a number of different stables, it seems to work better.
Yes.
Because the thing is, if one stable's a little bit off colour or in the doldrums, somebody else, the way they've got the horses, is having a good time of it. So I think it works personally to have them spread out about a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. From one all-conquering Irish trainer to another, then, Aidan O'Brien has finalised his plans for Champions Day at Ascot. Very nice of him. I'm sure plenty of people won't have been having an anti-post bet until he'd quite announced where his runners are heading. We'll start with Minding, first of all, Pimmers. She's had a long, hard season, but she's in the QE2. She'll be joined by stablemates Hit It, A Bomb. And has gone 15-8 at the head of affairs, ahead of Ribchester 9-4, Galileo Gold 9-2, Jet Setting 9-1, and 10's Bar. As I mentioned there, it's been a long, tough season for Minding, but a few of those horses at the top of the market have had similarly long seasons. Galileo Gold, for example.
Yeah, I think both Galileo Gold and Ribchester are interesting players. And I actually thought that Ribchester would be favourite, to be perfectly honest. But he's had very, very positive vibes from the Fahey Yard over the last day or two. And I think Fahey feels that he's the one they've got to beat. So it's interesting that they've taken Minding down that route. But, I mean, who are we to question Sir Aidan?
Indeed.
Lord Aidan. Aidan the God. Whatever you want to call him, you know.
Yes.
He's certainly going to have Minding with a massive chance. And, you know, he holds all the aces to this Champions Day, doesn't he, to be fair? I mean, he's got such a wealth of talent. And as I spoke on the podcast last week, I mean, to do what he has done over here this year has just been phenomenal, hasn't it? Unbelievable.
Yes. What is he? £5 million clear of John Gosden in the English Trainers Championship.
Yeah, he's had 27 winners from 122 runners over here. 22 strike rate. John Gosden's got a 23% strike rate. 112 winners, 494 runners. £7,884,000. John Gosden, £2,739,000.
Blimey.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Just absolutely incredible. In win money only, he's $3 million ahead of John Gosden.
Right. That is quite incredible.
Yeah, amazing. And the lads, I think the lads are happy.
I would say so, yeah. I think things are all good in the world of Coolmore as well.
We haven't asked them, but I'm sure they're happy.
We'll move on to one of his other superstars as well. Found has been declared for the Champion Stakes. Not favourite for this one. Almanzor, if he gets a run, is 6-4. Found in the betting at 5-2. Fascinating Rock, 5-1. 12-1, Jack Hobbs. 16s are bigger than the rest. We know she's a filly who takes her racing very well, Pimmers. This is the exact same route that she trod last year. Irish Champion, Arc, Champion Stakes. Obviously, she won the Arc this year and always gives her running Found and should have a puncher's chance in the Champion.
Oh, she's a fantastic filly, isn't she? Absolutely fantastic. I mean, she's so tough. She's so consistent. This time of year seems to suit her for whatever reason. You think a filly in October when the coats are going a little bit and they've had a long year that she might be getting a little bit weary, but she actually seems to blossom at this time of year. So, I wouldn't like to be taking her on, to be perfectly honest. That was a great win last time out. You know, she knocked on the door and didn't quite get there previous occasions, but she, like you say, always seems to run a race. She must be a fantastic filly to own.
Yeah, indeed. And a potential tilt at the Breeders' Cup again could well be on the cards
for
her.
Yeah, well, again, she's got such a fantastic constitution, hasn't she? She's so tough. She's so versatile. And again, what a great prospect she's going to have for the paddocks in the future.
Yeah, certainly. So one more race that we'll discuss then from Ascot before we move on to look at some of Friday's action. And refreshingly, there's no Ballydoll Hot Pot in this one. This is the Sprint Stakes, which Lamato was the well-fancied favourite for. Henry Candy's pulled him out because the ground has gone against him. It's going to be too soft. It leaves Quiet Reflection at 11-4 at the head of the betting. The Tin Man is 5-1. Shalar 11-2. 15-2 Twilight Sun. The Risa Breeze and Mecca's Angel 8-1. It's 12's bar. A nice open look to the Sprint Stakes. And in A Horse and Quiet Reflection, she's the opposite end of the pay scale than some of these Ballydoll superstars we've been talking about. Went for a pittance compared to the likes of Minding and Found.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, she's had a phenomenal season as well, hasn't she? Quiet Reflection for the Carl Burke and Dougie Costello combination. So, yeah, absolutely brilliant. I think a lot's been taken out of the race with Lamato being taken out because of the what they presume will be on the easy side of good. Ground at Ascot on Saturday, but it's still a brilliant race. Like you say, you've got Quiet Reflection, you've got the other Northern Challenger, Mecca's Angel, and obviously the Tin Man's been running in fantastic form for James Fanshawe and Tom Queeley this season. So again, it's still a wonderful race to watch, and I'm hoping that the filly Quiet Reflection, who is of course a distance winner in the past, can continue on that very much upward curve.
11-4 then for the Sprint Stakes Quiet Reflection. Set to be a fantastic weekend over at Ascot then for Champions Day. The curtain call on the flat season very much. But we'll move ahead to look at some of Friday's races now. We've got two on the flat and two over the obstacles picked out. We begin at Haydock Park with their 2.35. Sprint handicap here over 6 furlongs. 3-year-olds and upwards eligible for this contest. 17 runners have assembled for this Class 3 Pimmers. So it might take a bit of finding the winner.
Oh, you're kidding me. The Crispy Cod and Oldley Road. Have you been there?
No, can't say I have.
Fine bit of fish. And to be honest, you need a trawler net to try and get the winner out of here, because you've set me a task, young fella. You've set me a task. Between top weight and bottom weight of the 17 runners, we've only got a £5 difference. That's how competitive it is. So it's a case of who turns up on the day in good form. And again, I'm not just sure how the draw pans out at Haydock at the moment, but again, that might just play a role, especially if that west side is getting a little bit of rain. But of the 17, Classic Seniority has been in great form of late for the Marjorie Fifeyard. His successes have both come off a mark of 80. He's now gone £10 to a mark of 90. So he's going to find life a little bit harder in this grade tomorrow, that is for sure. Giant Sparks, an interesting runner for me. He won off the mark of 70 earlier on the season. Then he went up to 80. He ran well enough in defeat last time out in the Bronze Cup. He's off a mark of 89 tomorrow. He certainly could well be a player as well. And the same applies to Munfallet, who is £2 higher for winning at Chepstow last time out. That's when he beat our very own Shropshire Wolves, Sir Billy Wright. Mm. So he could be a player, having only gone up £2. But for me, the winner is in the direction of Edward Lewis, trained by John Gosden. Dettori takes the mount on the three-year-old. Again, he's raced off a mark of 82 when he finished second the time before last. He went up to 86 in defeat last time out as well, Edward Lewis, when he was behind Spring Fling, but possibly was a little bit unfortunate throughout the race. And he's now off a mark of 89. So he's gone up £7 in the last two runs, and he hasn't actually won. Mm. That handicapper, he's a harsh man, Sam.
He certainly is.
He's a harsh man. But anyway, let's take Edward Lewis in a very, very competitive 17-runner sprint.
Edward Lewis, the choice then for John Gosden and Frankie Dettori. Pim has given that one the nod in the 2.35. We stay at Haydock now for their 3.10 contest. Another handicap here. 14 runners go down for a mile contest this time. Similarly difficult, Pim.
He's very similarly difficult, you're right. Well, actually, a little bit easier, because from top weight to bottom weight, we've got a £6 range.
Yes.
So you've really made life much easier for me, young
fella. I'm good to you, Pim.
You are. You're too kind. Too kind. But a good prize on offer, as you'd imagine. Over 7,400 to the winner. A couple of these again coming into the race on the back of success. Father Bertie for Tim Easterby won off 87 last time. He's now to 92. Rising Sand started winning off a mark of 84 this season. He raced off 89 last time. He's 92 again now, so he's interesting. Jack's Revenge and our very own Stevie Drown. Do you remember Stevie Drown? Used to come in for us when he was on the sick.
A bit before my time, that.
No. Yeah. Not that long ago, Sam. Not that long ago.
I don't remember him coming in, though.
Well, he did. Trust me.
I believe you.
Trust me.
I believe you, that's for sure.
He rides Jack's Revenge, who won off a mark of 84 last time. He's off up to 89. And after that, I thought 10 and below were going to find life very difficult. So it's competitive, to say the least, but I'm going to take a chance here with the Timmies to be trained, Father Bertie.
Father Bertie then for Pimmers in the 3.10 at Haydock. We go over to Fakenham now for a couple of jumps contests. We begin with the Novices Chase at 3.15. 2 mile 5 furlong is the trip for this. It's attracted a field of six, but particularly the top three here, Pimmers, look very interesting candidates.
Yeah, that's right. Straight away, 4, 5, 6, line through.
Yes.
Couldn't win if they set off now, young fella. Okay? So they're basically making up the numbers. There must be a bit of prize money for fourth. Yeah, £572. So they're out the equation. Then you've got Sam Benito, won his first two chases, then was stepped up in class into an intermediate chase last time out. And to be fair, he flopped. He was fourth of four at Newton Abbott over 2 mile five. So he's slightly disappointed there, to be honest. He had a mark of 142 at that stage. Handicap had dropped him £5 for that. But obviously handicap marks don't come into the equation here tomorrow. It's because it's a novice chase. It's all about just if they've got penalties or not. Obviously, he has got a couple of penalties, so he's carrying the burden of 11 stone 11. Then you've got Rolling Moore. He was a winner last time out. That, again, was of a chase. That was at Bangor in September when he beat Acklim by 15 lengths. Only four runners on that occasion, so how strong that race was remains to be seen. He's a mark of 135 over fences. It was a mark of 120 over hurdles. And then you get, it's a freebie. Now, have you ever had a freebie?
Not for a long time.
No. Trust me, young fella.
I'm not well enough connected to get freebies.
Listen, there's no free lunch.
Right.
You remember, Bet. So if somebody said they've got a freebie for you, tread carefully.
Well,
trust me. That's from a man of experience.
Sage advice there, yeah.
Exactly, indeed. But yeah, no, this is a real nice horse. It's a freebie. He ran an absolute blinder in defeat behind York Hill in the Neptune. He had a mark of 141 over hurdles. It's his debut over fences. He's from a good yard that know how to school the horses. And I'd be very disappointed if he doesn't make a winning debut over fences tomorrow. It's a freebie.
It's a freebie then for the Skelton's place in the Neptune last year at Cheltenham, as you heard there. We move on to the final race on today's podcast. Again, we're at Fakenham for this one. This is the 4.25, a 3-mile handicap chase for us to dissect here. Seven runners have lined up. Who's caught the eye?
Good race. Competitive, as you'd imagine. Workbench came good last time out, got his head in front 14 days ago, again for the very much informed yard of Dan Skelton's, and he won by a length on that occasion, beating Purple and Gold. That was at Fontwell over 2 mile 1, and again I think he's certainly got a big chance tomorrow. He's £4 higher when he won, but that's not a massive burden, I didn't think. And again, between Gallery Exhibition carrying 11-12 and Princeton Royal on 11-7. There's only £5 between the top six in that race. Noble Legend, he's at £10 lower than Princetown Royal with a mark of 121. He's going to find life difficult there tomorrow. But I'm going to side with the very consistent Keltis here. He's £2 lower than when he won a couple of outings ago. He's off a mark of 132. He's got the tongue tie on again, as usual, tomorrow. And he never seems to run a bad race, this fella, to be perfectly honest. And I think he can get back to winning ways.
Okay, Pimmer's choice then in the 4.25. Just give us a quick recap of your four selections then for the races we picked out on Friday afternoon.
Yes, so starting at Haydock Park with that little fishy contest, the Crispy Cod Knowlesy Road Handicap. I'm going to side there with John Gosson and Frankie Dettori in the shape of Edward Lewis. In the mile handicap, the selection is going to be Father Bertie. And then to proper racing at Fakenham, the jumpers, we're going to side with It's a Freebie to make a winning debut over fences, and Keltis to continue in a very, very competitive frame of mind.
Marvellous stuff. There we are, the thoughts of Chris Pinmot, head of Friday's Racing. And remember to tune in to Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. with Gary Capel, Kevin O'Malley and Seb Sanders in the studio to guide you through all of the action at Haydock and Fakenham, as we discussed there. We're also at Redcar, Wincanton, Newcastle and Dundalk on Friday. Thank you very much for that, Pimmers, and best of luck and enjoy the action.
Can't wait.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.